I want to try and deal, if we can, just with three words, very simply, if we can remember it. And they're all summed up really in one glorious verse. And I suppose not many of you have brought your Bibles. But before we do, if I may just mention for a moment or two, you might wonder what this business is over here. Well, this happens to be a little book we've put together a couple of years or so ago to let people know the joy of what the Lord Jesus can do in taking people to go with the message of the Lord Jesus and to show how the Lord Jesus is working gloriously today in different ways. We've had the privilege, my wife and I, for about 33 years now, of just going when the Lord opens doors of opportunity, whenever and wherever they occur, both in this country, and now we've just recently, as I mentioned, come back from a very long, wonderful opportunity right across those two vast countries of Canada and the States. 4,000 miles across Canada in 2.5 months when the opportunity came. After we got there, no meetings were arranged before we got there, but the Lord graciously used people, Christians, to open doors for invitations to just take the message of the Lord Jesus right across that country. 48 meetings we had in 2.5 months. But that was only half the story. By the time we travelled from British Columbia, from Victoria, capital of BC, right across to Toronto, that was 2.5 months, but we also covered the United States back from east to west, from Chicago back to Seattle. Another 2.5 months. We had 42 more meetings in those 2.5 months. So altogether in 5 months, God opened up 90 meetings for us just to minister the Lord Jesus. No denominational flavor, no particular sect or branch of the church, just the ministering of Christ, who is the head of the church, his church, those who belong to the Lord Jesus, whenever, wherever they're found. So there's just a small book of 90 pages I've put together, and I've called the book I Can't, But God Can, and He Does. Sometimes people might say, well, that's not very popular, because I think I can. You say you can't, but I can. But when we come to look at God's Word, when we look into the spiritual side of things, God says it's impossible for you to do anything to earn your way to heaven or to do anything that pleases God off your own bat. That's impossible. Because the Word of God simply tells us that in me, that is in my body, lives no good thing. Find that in Romans 7, verse 18. Well, if no good thing, and it's got to be 100% good to please God, by the way. Nothing less than 100% is any good to Him. He doesn't wink His eye at failure and say, oh, well, I'll let you in. Nothing of that at all. It's only 100%. That means perfection. And there's no one here on this earth that's produced perfection except one person, the Lord Jesus, that we've been hearing a little about, that have been reaching the native folks. So the Lord Jesus is the only one who's entirely pleased His Father all the time. And He's the one who wants to come to live in the life of people so that they can become a Christian, to live out His life through them. Not by trying, but by trusting, by being committed to Him. So the little book just covers 15 short chapters. First 8 chapters cover some of our travels and experiences, and which the Lord has been graciously just using us as a mouthpiece, that's all, to reach people, all kinds of places. The next 5 chapters are for young Christians to learn how to live out the life they have received, and the life is the Lord Jesus. Not by trying, as I said before, but by trusting, by being committed to the Lord Jesus. And that might be helpful. There are thousands of young people who've made a profession to be a Christian, and they're battling, doing their best to try and sort of live on top and live to please the Lord, and they don't know how, and that's bad news. Just like people who we've just been seeing, if they haven't got the Word of God in their own language, how can they learn to be a Christian and to become one as well? And so it's a joy just to be able to put 5 chapters together in there, brief chapters on victorious Christian living, living on top. And that's not by trying, that's by trusting as well. And then the last 2 chapters are simply for folks who've never become a Christian, don't know what it means. Well, we've tried to put down simply how to become a Christian and how to be what we've become, quite simply. The last couple of things about it is that there's a little chorus in there my late father composed. He composed a whole book of hymns in his lifetime, my late father, 101 pieces, words and music, all his own. But after the book was completed, about 50 years ago, it's out of print, I'm sorry, a long time ago, he put some choruses together, and I've just put one into my book. And the 4 lines simply are these, are the words, live in me, Lord, thy life divine, through all my being Saviour, shine. Thy risen power, let it hold sway, possess me wholly from today. Well, that's saying something. And please, I ask people not to sing that unless they mean it. And if you can't sing it, keep your mouth shut and listen to those who do mean it and can sing it. And it's giving ourselves back to the Lord Jesus when we have received him. Should be at the same time. This is the gospel. Should be. And then the foreword is just done by a very, well, he's comparatively well known throughout the world, Major Ian Thomas, who was a major in the British Army in the last war, won his territorial decoration and his DSO by being the first British officer to land on Italian soil during the war with a commando raid, and he was decorated for that. But he's been a fine Christian, still preaching the Lord Jesus all over the globe still, and he kindly did the foreword for me. And he looked at the title of the book, and he simply finishes the foreword. He's written in one page what I've been trying in 89 pages to put together, but he did in one page, summed it up nicely. But he finished it by putting on the last sentence of his foreword, using the title of the book, and he says, if I can't and God can, well, the smartest thing to do is let him. Well, that's pretty smart when you think about it. If I can and I can't, neither can you. We can't please God in our own natural self, the old nature we're born with, because we're all born sinners, which doesn't mean blackguards, fit for jail. No, it simply means less than 100% perfection. We're all born that way. Can't help it. God doesn't blame us for being born that way. He blames us for staying that way. When God says, I can give to you my Son, the Lord Jesus, who will completely take over your life and will shine through in a natural sort of a way through your personality, your life, so that others can see something of the lovely character of the Lord Jesus. Look at the change we've just been looking at from dear primitive natives. Miraculous changes. That's God at work, not men. And so the marvellous thing about it is that the Lord Jesus simply wants to change people's lives when they receive him and he receives them. Most important. And so that's how the book closes. Anybody's interested, please come and have a look at them afterwards if you would like. Anybody wants to purchase them, they are retailing at $6 each, but don't worry too much about the money. If you'd like to have one, you haven't got any money, please let me know and I'll give you one. But if you say, well, I'd like to buy it, but I still haven't got any money on me, well, all right, you can let us have it before next Tuesday if you like. If you don't, we won't lose any sleep about it. You'll have one for nothing. But I'd like to get the message over to people. That's more important than the money. Forget about that. But that's what the book just is, simply being used in different places wherever we are. Now, I want to read, as quickly as I can, very briefly, a few verses of Scripture to deal with these three words. And they are found in one verse in Ephesians chapter 2 and in summed all up in verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And this is, for by grace, the first one, are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so see, not by doing your best, not of works, lest any person should boast and say, well, I've done better works than other people. None of that at all. For we are God's workmanship. That means we're made by him for a very special purpose, for him to come and live in the person of the Lord Jesus in our lives. And for him to not only live in here, but to reflect his lovely character through us. And he'll do it as long as we let him. L-E-T. And that's our will. We've all got an independent will to either please God if we wish to, or displease him if we wish to. And that leads to outer darkness. Unfortunately, to hell itself. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, when you become a Christian, unto good works which God has before prepared. It's not our good works. God has prepared these good works. He wants to do them through us as we let him, so that we should walk in them. Alright, now the three words are simply, and I want to give you an acrostic. If you know what an acrostic is, we're not putting it up on a board, but instead of putting the word that way, putting it down this way, and we'll get a little meaning for the three words, grace and faith and saved. First of all, well, the first one is G-R-A-C-E, and incidentally there are five letters in each one of those three words, and you've got five fingers on your hand, so if you can remember them that way, G-R-A-C-E. And the first one is God's riches at Christ's expense. And you might say, well, what does that mean? Sounds a bit hard to understand. Well, God's riches are all that God has invested in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and those wonderful spiritual riches are available to people at Christ's expense, means when the Lord Jesus expended himself on the cross 1900 years ago. He came to die because the wages of sin, says the Bible, the deserts of sin, the deserts of imperfection, is death. Because we can't have eternal life without the Lord Jesus, who is our eternal life when we receive him. And so the simple thing is that God's riches, all that God has for people, if they will come to Christ, are found and discovered in Christ, because he expended himself, gave himself on the cross and died to pay the wages of sin, yours and mine, and to rise from the dead, and to come to live in people's lives so that he can change them and he can run their lives the way they should be run. And the Lord Jesus is the answer to the problem today. So that's a marvelous thing, and that's what we discover. We'll just go over to the first chapter of Ephesians for a moment, verse 3, which says this in the spiritual language: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us as the Christian, when you've received Christ into your heart and life, who has blessed us with all, look at this, not some, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Great. Well, in other words, when we become a Christian, we receive the Lord Jesus and we have all that we need in him for time and eternity. Great. This is what the poor old world outside knows nothing about. They can't experience the joy and happiness of this new life, the Christian life, until they have the Lord Jesus, by voluntarily and willingly asking him to come in. Well, we'll read what it says in John chapter 1, verse 12. What it says, very simple language. It says, as many people as received, look at this, him, and the him is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the person of the Lord Jesus. To as many people as received him, to these people he gave the power or the authority to become, look at this, the sons of God or the children of God. To become, not to do, but to become. And this is the Lord's work when we ask him in and say, Lord Jesus, you took my place on the cross. Thank you so much. You died in place of me. And so therefore you come in and I receive you, Lord Jesus, as the eternal life. And he's the one who gives us that glorious, not physical life for a few years, but the eternal life when this life is finished down here. And the world will be going into eternal death without Christ, because he happens to be the eternal life. I am the way, says the Lord Jesus, I am the truth, and I'm the life, the eternal spiritual life. He is. That's why we need him. That's why people go to the ends of the earth and even into the outback remote places, as well as civilized countries, to simply tell people they need the Lord Jesus desperately badly. And when people discover that, they get transformed in their lives, dropping all the rotten and wickedness. And we've got an awful lot of wickedness in this country. Civilized heathens, we've got. Other people might be uncivilized heathens, but we've got people who ought to have more sense to listen to the message of the gospel. But they're choked with the prosperity and with all the gadgets and everything you like for this life down here, never thinking that they've got a soul in here that's going into eternity. What about when the little ticker stops and they're finished for this life, drop into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, says the Bible, a little description of hell itself. Terrible. So we need to warn them. So this is receiving the Lord Jesus gives us the glorious power to become one of his children, Christian. Fine. Now we move over, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 for a moment or two, just for a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20. This is what it says. And simply verse 19 says, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19, what? Don't you know that your body is the temple or the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, which is in you? This is those who've received Christ, and when we receive the Lord Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit, who comes to live in our life to make Christ's life operative, to demonstrate through our personalities his lovely character as we let him from day to day. So don't you know that your body is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? And this is the Christian who wants to discover that the Lord Jesus has bought us with his precious death. That's what he's paid for us. Now, has he got us? That's the question. And he hasn't got us unless we hand our lives to him day by day. That's the secret. Because you see, when you've bought a thing, you've taken delivery, haven't you? Whether it's a car or a boat or a house or a farm, the day comes and you've paid it and you receive it and you take possession. It's yours to do what you like with. Now, the Lord Jesus has bought every Christian, and we discover half the time that Christians have forgotten or they've never learnt that we don't belong to ourselves. We're not our own, it says. You've been bought with a price, says verse 29. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In other words, hand our lives to him day by day, and he'll use us in all kinds of ways, even without us knowing it. The way you live, the way you behave, your whole personality, when the Lord Jesus is Lord of the life. Not just Jesus, please. Not just the Saviour, but the Lord in charge. In other words, under new management. That's what we should be. The management of the Lord Jesus. Great. And this is what I discover. I've been preaching for over 50 years. This is what I discover that even Christians are in desperate need of. Because they're struggling to do their best for Jesus. And they're not getting on too well. They're finding things very difficult. And they get a bit frustrated. Of course they would be. Because nothing's happening. God didn't ask us to do our best for Jesus. He said, I want you. Not your best. Your best's futile. Never ask for it. The Lord says, come to me, you folks who are labouring, working, and I'll give you rest. Not to your bodies, but to your souls. Great. And this is very important information that we want to enjoy day by day as a Christian. And so, G-R-A-C-E spells grace. But then grace, it comes how? Well, it comes by faith. Now, I'll have to do two for faith, because faith is what God gives as a gift for a person to become a Christian. And we also, when you are a Christian, you live by faith. Little illustration. Most of you, if you've travelled some distance, you've come by car. Few drivers here, mostly passengers. The time you stepped into the car, shut the door, you were totally committed to your driver, whether it was mum and dad or brother or sister. But you never talked about it, you just sat there and you enjoyed it till you got here. Fine. Totally committing your life to them. You never thought about that, of course, but that's what you did. And you see, that's total committal. And when the Lord Jesus comes on board our life, not the car, but our life, he says, excuse me, you move over, you're the passenger, I take the wheel, I take control. Because I bought you, you're mine, and I want to lead you in the way that pleases me day by day. So I'll do the running of the business of your life as you let me day by day. You got that clear? Very important. And so many dear Christians, they're sort of carrying the Lord Jesus along, letting him be the passenger, and think that he's pleased wherever they care to go and do whatever they like. Nothing of the kind. The Lord says, I didn't come to follow you, I came to lead, and you follow me. That's a disciple. He takes the lead, takes full responsibility, we do the following. And that's trusting. That's not trying. So we get that. Well, that's what he says. That's lovely. And so, faith. Now, we have two. The first one is F-A-I-T-H. This is how you become a Christian. We've just had it. Forsaking all, I take him. That's great, isn't it? Forsaking all means putting other things last and the Lord Jesus first. So we receive him. Forsaking all, I take him. This is the Lord Jesus. And you don't just take him as Saviour, please. It doesn't say that in the Bible. You take him in all that he is. Lord, the divine master of all that he owns, and he owns us. Just mentioned it. The Lord is the divine master. Jesus, the Saviour, the substitute who died for us 1900 years ago. And Christ is the King, the one who wants to reign in our life now. Christ is the anointed King. And if he reigns in here, that means if he sits on the throne of your will and mine, that's great. And he's in charge here, it'll mean you and I'll be reigning out there in the world. And that means we'll be on top. And the Lord is the one who can do the keeping. We can't keep ourselves, and the wickedness, you know, is going on rampant in the world today. And there's no answer for it except the person of the Lord Jesus. And he's in charge, he'll see us through. That's very important. So that's what happens. That's the faith that God gives to you. Don't conjure it up. He'll give it when he sees you surrendering your life to the Lord Jesus. Forsaking all, I take him. Now, when you become a Christian, you live by faith. And that's great. And here's an acrostic for Christians now. This time, F-A-I-T-H. For all, I trust him. You get that? For all, I trust. What does that mean? Well, it means for all circumstances. What's going to happen perhaps tomorrow or the next day or whatever the circumstances that come across our pathway. For all these things, I trust him. I say, Lord Jesus, will you handle that circumstance, please? I can't, but you can. That's why the book's called I Can't, But God Can, and he does, if you'll let him. We've got to let him. And so that's the joy of simply saying, for all, I trust him, each day. Well, that's fine. That's for faith. Now, we go over to Psalm 27 for a moment, and verse 1. And we'll just condense it down. I hope we can get something out of it. If you can't, I'm pleased to see this business is here. You can borrow the tape if you like, play it back again if you're not sure what's been going on. Now, Psalm 27 and verse 1 says this: the Lord is, this is present tense by the way, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Well, the answer is no one. No, no. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? No one. Now, the little acrostic, I must have dreamt this, I think, once, and I must have been preaching in my dreams. And never mind, that doesn't matter. 24 hours a day service, morning, noon, and night. But I think I must have written it down when I first heard it, because I never heard it anywhere else, and I thought, well, we'll use it. And the little acrostic now for saved, S-A-V-E-D. You see the order? God's riches at Christ's expense, that's God's grace he gives to Christians. And it's by faith which he gives us when we're willing to trust him for all our affairs. And then the result of God's grace and his faith he gives to us produces salvation, or being saved day by day, not just going to heaven when we die. Some people seem to think, you know, the Christian faith is the Lord Jesus just delivering you from going into hell and taking you to heaven when you die. Well, that's part of it, but far greater than that is the Lord Jesus getting God out of heaven into man. And that's what he wants to do. It's the Spirit of God that wants to come to live in a person's life and live through us, so that we can demonstrate something of the character of the Lord Jesus, perfectly naturally. And this is what he'll do if we'll let him. But you see, let is our will, folks. The only thing you can call your own. Everything else is lent to you while you've got breath. But you've got a will, which God says, that's your responsibility. Are you going to use that will to please me by surrendering to me and allowing the Lord Jesus to be in charge of your life? Or are you going to go your own way? And your own way is a sinful, utter failure, and will end up in outer darkness, as I said before. So we have the choice. And this is what the message of the gospel is all about. So the psalmist says, well, the Lord is my salvation. All right, here's the acrostic for saved. S-A-V-E-D. Salvation and victory enjoyed daily. You get it? That's what it means to be saved day by day. Not just saved to go to heaven later on. That's the end of the story. But now, saved day by day from your own will, pleasing yourself. And that's utter selfishness. But the Lord Jesus simply says, if you surrender your life to me day by day, you can't lose, because he's always on top. He's always greater and better than anything the world can give us. And so the glorious thing is salvation and victory, which means the result of warfare. And there's a warfare going on today between light and darkness, between the wickedness of this world and God himself in the Lord Jesus. And he is the victory. He won the victory at the cross 1900 years ago. And he says, Christian, I want you to live victoriously, on top. And I tell you, that's good for the morale, I tell you. In a world that's at wit's end corner, as you know, as well as I do, they don't know which way to turn. Hope because they've left God out of their life. And we were made for God's pleasure. How much pleasure does God get out of people? Only those who are Christians, who are surrendering their lives to him day by day and pleasing him. And it's the greatest and best life you can ever enjoy. Because I've been telling you from personal experience over 50 or 60 years ago since I came to know the Lord Jesus. If I had my life over again, I'd start even younger. Because you see, the life of the Lord Jesus is the greatest and most enjoyable life you can possibly have. And he's the answer to all life's problems if we will only hand our problems to him. salvation and victory enjoyed daily. That's what he says. All right. Well, even the psalmist says, well, the Lord is my salvation. Great. Now we'll come over to finish with 1 Corinthians 15 now, verse 57. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. The last verse, we're right bang on time, so we're getting through fairly well. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 says, thanks. Now when you say thanks, it means you say thank you. And thank you indicates you've received something. Well, of course we have. We've received, if you're a Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it's talking about. Thanks be to God who gives us, look at this, gives us. That means you don't earn it, don't deserve it, it's a gift. When you have a gift, well, you learn to say thank you, don't you? Of course you do, if you've got decent manners. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory, look at this, through our, not Jesus please, through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how the victory comes, because as I've just mentioned, those three titles are all but that we need day by day to live gloriously, victoriously, on top, pleasing the Lord Jesus in his strength, not our own. Not by trying, as I said before, but by trusting. And that's the secret of the Christian life. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, now listen to this, and we close with this. Therefore, that means seeing that this victory is given to us, and we say thanks for it and enjoy it. That's living on top. Therefore, he says, my dear Christians, be steadfast. That means be rocked around like a lump of jelly. Steadfast, unmovable, because our life will be, the foundation of our life is on the person of the rock of the Lord Jesus, who's unmovable. The whole of our life was to be committed onto him, unmovable, always abounding in the work, look at this, of the Lord. Not the work for the Lord, please, because you can do nothing for him. He didn't ask you to. It's the work of, and that the word of means from. It's the work from the Lord Jesus. He's the originator. He's the one who wants to be the prime mover of all Christian activity. And today there's so much being done for the Lord Jesus, hopeless, because they're the prime mover, and it's all coming from man's organisation or man's gimmicks or man's all sorts of attractions. But God looks on the heart. He says, who started this business, you or me? And God rules out immediately anything that starts by man, because it's utter failure. Never asked for it. And the Lord says, I want you, not your best efforts for me. Futile. So he says, say thank you for the victory, but we'll be abounding in the work from the Lord, for as much as you know that your labour, that means your activity, is not in vain in the Lord, not for him. See the vast difference. People who are working for him are just futile, worth nothing. Because to close with, in John 15:5, it simply says there at the end of that verse that the Lord, without me, says the Lord, you separate yourself from me and you go up the garden path and work for me, you can do nothing that's worth anything. And this is news that needs to be spread in the Christian church all over the place, greatly needed today. Without me, says the Lord, you can do nothing. But he says, with me, and I work through you, because he wants to be our very life. He said, that's the work that God's well pleased with, when the Lord Jesus is shining through us, even without you knowing it. You're reflecting something of his lovely character, and you're behaving in a way that the Lord Jesus is in charge in here, and the world can see vastly different people in Christians when they're walking in a way that pleases him. Not that we want to try and be different, nothing of the kind, but it's because we have a different owner, a different managing director in here running the business. That's what makes the difference, because he was vastly different. Remember what it was said about the Lord Jesus when he was on earth. Do you remember? He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. See that? Born sinless, he was, the Lord Jesus. And he pleased God all the time and lived here as a perfect man. And you see, that same person now has gone back to heaven with his body, but he lives in the life of every Christian if we've invited him in. And so the Lord Jesus simply wants to demonstrate himself through you and me in a perfectly natural way.